Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day. Let's jump into Deshaun Watson.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
How transparent has Deshaun Watson been with the NFL?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We've seen the NFL come down harder on players in the past that weren't transparent with them.
Deshaun Watson has been suspended for 6 games.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, senior writer for the MMQB, Albert Breer. Still to come, Hall of Fame sports columnist Bob Ryan, plus ESPN MLB columnist Buster Olney. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We spent hour number one significantly, the lion's share of that hour, on the subject matter of Deshaun Watson being suspended by the independent arbitrator and judge as selected by the league and its players association in the NFL. Sue L. Robinson giving Deshaun Watson a 6-game suspension. Albert Breer talking about the how behind it, the why potentially behind it, and then what the moves for the league might be from here on out. As Deshaun Watson is practicing with the team. Now, that is always going to be the case when a player gets suspended. They're allowed to not only practice with the team, I think you're going to see Deshaun Watson play some preseason football as well. That's the way it always goes in the NFL. And we'll see what happens from here on out. Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated and the MMQB joined us. If you missed any of that, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Chris Brockman, lead off hour number two, Rich, with the way our poll question is going right now. I think our poll question is similar to ones that other shows are doing today, but we're just going to jump into it. Go for it.
Yeah, we threw it out there. How do you feel about this Deshaun Watson suspension? Appropriate or not? No, 85%.
I think that's the way it's going to be.
85%.
Yeah, and the court of public opinion is chiming in, and that does matter, although when things are codified and in a collective bargaining agreement and language is there and you have a judge applying the language to it, that's how you get a suspension like this where she's paying no heed to public opinion.
I'm going to throw out another opinion. One here, actually, too. I'm going to say, should it have been? What should it have been?
You know what? Let's leave that one for today. Tomorrow, the next 3 days is this is going to be a subject of conversation.
You're probably right.
Because the league has 3 business days to let the Players Association know that they're going to appeal it. And that's when things are going to go a little bit differently because the appeal is to the commissioner or his designee. So there's all of that.
Yeah. Diana Rossini tweeted out 20 minutes ago, the league is meeting today.
Yeah.
And will continue tomorrow to decide if they will appeal.
They shall huddle up. This will not be a hurry-up offense. This is going to be a huddle situation, I would imagine. Hour number three, Buster Olney will join us. And John Heyman in the New York Post saying several teams have been told by the A's that they're out on Frankie Montas, their young stud ace pitcher who is available in the next 24 hours. And with Luis Castillo being a Mariner now, that is, I imagine, the apple of the eye of Yankees, Mets, Dodgers. Anybody trying to add another starter? Could be Astros. Who knows? We'll see how that goes.
Well, the Yankees just made a move.
What do they do? What do they do? What do we got?
They acquired Efris from the Cubs.
Okay.
And then John Heyman just tweeted out, the Angels have decided to keep Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, well,
the Yankees the Yankees did make an offer. Yankees were among the teams to make
an
offer.
Everybody's making an offer.
Yeah.
You know,
bring them up.
The Brooklyn Bridge. There's nothing you can't offer for. And again, every single team.
I don't know if the Brooklyn Bridge works in Anaheim.
They could.
They could add it to Disneyland.
The London Bridge. The London Bridge.
They built Radiator Springs down the road.
London Bridge.
I mean, good Lord.
That's true.
You see what they do there in Disney? They can reimagine anything.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, you go around the world hearing the same song over and over again in a nice 10-minute air-conditioned boat ride.
Padres and White Sox, also the other teams.
Of course. Everybody. Yankees right now. By the way, any team's looking for pitching. Great starting pitching right now. Great arm. Anybody's looking for starting pitching. And everybody else is looking for a bat. Everybody's looking for a bat. And so there's one guy that meets both on the spot. You got yourself your ace pitcher, and you got yourself your left-handed power bat. Are you kidding me? And if they had traded him, it's just like, you know, close up shop. You don't want to be in Major League Baseball. If you have Shohei Ohtani and you're like, yeah, we're out of options here, so we're going to trade him. Forget it. He's plan A. And they all know about just look at the logo, right, with the halo around the A. That's plan A. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program.
So the red sweater is plan B.
Thank you very much. That's a little Ken Bone drop to go with your Shohei Ohtani takes. The passing of Bill Russell. Look, I clearly wasn't alive when he played, and I wasn't alive when he was a player coach. By the way, two championship seasons as a player coach. Could you imagine today a player coach in the NBA?
Could you imagine? I think LeBron could do it.
Yeah, didn't we have that in the bubble? He's doing it now.
He's doing it already. You guys can already say he's doing it already.
Player, coach, GM. He's doing the weird NBA trifecta.
You know what I'm saying? Like, literally, like, player on the court. Timeout!
Yeah. That's what we're saying.
You know?
Gets a clipboard.
Have you watched the Lakers play?
But, I mean, Bill Russell, there are only a handful of individuals who can match what he did as an athlete, championship-wise, athletics. By the way, you know, he was a high jumper. He did hurdles, too. And whatever the championships that he won, and a perfect example of this, kids, who may not know, Bob Ryan, who's joining us in about 14 minutes' time, you might hear this out of his mouth because this is what he put out yesterday, just to remind everyone. In his final 14 years as a basketball player, Bill Russell's team participated in 21 winner-take-all contests, 9 NCAA tournament games, right? It's a winner-take-all, 1 Olympic gold medal game. That's a lot for the winner to take. 10 game sevens and 1 decisive game 5. Those are the 21 such winner-take-all contests. Bill Russell's team won them all.
21-0.
Perfect. 21-21. And again, it's team. You got to say team because he facilitated. Look up, kids, Google his or YouTube highlights. Just 5-6 minutes of it. The passing, the facilitating. He ran the break. Could you imagine what that looked like? Right now, you could see 7-footers run breaks thanks to Shaq and everyone else.
Yeah.
You could see it. It's just, okay.
Also, he was 6'11", you know, about 220, 230, something like that.
Unreal. Unreal.
The athleticism back then was extremely super, whatever adjective you want, rare.
Yes.
Didn't happen.
Correct. And then the number of athletes, we've seen many, but not enough, certainly these days, putting their careers on the line, at stake, or using their platform from their professional playing careers to talk about the real stuff that matters, social justice, a fair world for everyone. And Bill Russell did that even better than he was a basketball player. We're seeing the famed photograph of him with the Mount Rushmore of such players. When you combine their greatness in their athletic endeavors with their greatness in talking about their worlds, our world, and making everyone's world equal and fair for all. You're talking about Kareem, Jim Brown, you're talking about Muhammad Ali, and you're talking about Bill Russell, and obviously when you're talking about Mount Rushmore, there's only 4, but clearly Jackie Robinson is in that realm as well. Just to name 5. Talk about an important voice. It was Bill Russell, 88 years old, universally loved and beloved. May he rest in peace. And Bob Ryan's going to be joining us in about 5 minutes' time to talk about so much more in the life of Bill Russell, especially in light of what's going on in the world today. And then Buster Olney will join us in hour number three of this
program. Yeah, it's so interesting, Rich, that these two things happened on back-to-back days. Like, I wish we could spend the whole show talking about Bill Russell and how great of a man he was. But news of the day dictates we talk about Deshaun Watson. It's just interesting, that contrast to me.
Well, the world that also Russell was overcoming while he was performing at an insanely high level of success as well. And Bob Ryan will tell those stories coming up. He will do them much better justice than me just recounting them on the program. Jeff in Detroit, our friend Jeffrey, joining us back here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, Unc? My cousins, it's wonderful when we all together, man. Listen, first of all, thanks for giving out the information that you gave to Dan about Matt Patricia still getting paid by the Lions and going under a different name so he can get the money from the Lions. Oh, that just pissed the whole entire barbershop off.
Well, it's not just so he could get his money. It's, I think, so Bob Kraft doesn't have to pay it, to be very honest with you. He's going to get his money either way, you know. That too.
Let me speak real quick on Bill Russell. My father, Lord rest his soul, would have been 89 years of age, and he spoke so well of that man because Bill Russell was the person that African Americans needed. It wasn't a positive representation of African Americans, and somebody who won, somebody who stood for dignity, who stood for righteousness, who basically was an uncle to basically everybody in the NBA, the man will surely be missed. And like I said, I've never heard my father really talk about anybody like he talked about him, Ali, and those people trying to further the human cause to be a true humanitarian. You know what I mean?
In the face of
a much better place.
In the face of ugly racism that was pointed directly at him.
He did it at a high level with so much against him. Mm-hmm. And like you said, then I'm getting ready to transition to talk about Deshaun Watson and his situation. What I want to just say real quick is, me being a former law enforcement officer, I don't agree with, but I can see where the judge is coming from, because out of 66 individuals, no prosecutor went forth with charges, which means he walked a fine line between being creepy and freaky. In my opinion, he's freaky and creepy and should be dealt with as such, because it's almost like you get away with the crime, and what happens next time? What is going to be the deterrent? Not only that, you're famous, dude, and you're rich. You can do this somewhere else or another way. It's people that would be willing to do whatever you wanted consensually. You're the quarterback of the Houston Texans. For you to go out and hunt down these women on IG and such, it's a power grab. It's something that's wrong upstairs.
Listen, and thanks for the call. Anybody who goes on vacation and wants to, you know, splurge a little bit and say, you know, I'll get a massage here at this hotel. Did you hit the spa when you were in Vegas in any way, shape, or form?
I did not. I kind of wish I did, actually.
I mean, as everybody who listens to us in Las Vegas, Nevada, the great city where Mo Green has no plaque or signpost, I mean, the spa treatments are everywhere. He can't go and get one. Otherwise, that's a violation of this ruling, where she basically said club employees are the only people allowed to massage Deshaun Watson. That's it. that's like the independent study clause. You know, we're going to check on you. No more sliding into people's DMs, Mr. Watson, is basically what Sue Robinson said, if you're looking for a massage. It's crazy. I can't believe the stuff I talk about on this program. It's nuts.
Because it's happening.
It's happening.
It's real life.
It's totally crazy that an NFL quarterback has been told who and who may not be allowed to give him a massage because his behavior has warranted such a ruling.
Is that more ridiculous than the Kyler Murray thing? Don't play video games?
You know what? They're in two totally different worlds and solids. I know what you're saying. Yeah. But I'd rather they had fined him. But I guess this is Sue Robinson trying to protect unsuspecting masseuses and in the greater metropolitan Cleveland area. I don't know. called it some of the most egregious behavior the NFL's ever reviewed. But I haven't seen the it's a 6-page ruling. I haven't seen the previous 5 pages where she decided based on that first paragraph was definitely her saying what the Players Association argued merits less than the full freight of what the league was asking for. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. Let's take a break so we're on time for Bob Ryan and spend some time talking about Bill Russell, whose passing left a hole in many hearts, no question about it, across the association landscape and beyond. The great Bill Russell has passed away at the age of 88, and the Hall of Fame sports writer Bob Ryan is going to join us to lend perspective. That's coming up. Back here on the terrestrial radio stations, joining us here on Peacock, we were just spending the last 3 minutes, TJ Jefferson, who taps out mentally from every single conversation we have here about golf, has played golf.
Yes. Finally.
Did it over the weekend.
First time I'd been on a golf course. I've been on a golf course twice in the last 10 years.
Wow.
Once with the Michael Jordan thing and once when I shot that Callaway piece.
Oh, do you have the bug?
At the LPGA,
have you been bitten by the bug? Ooh. Do you want to do it again?
I don't necessarily have a bug, but what I do have is a feeling in my lat that a blowtorch is like right under here. And there's a muscle I guess I hadn't really twisted.
It's all right.
So, yeah. So I was like, okay, I was putting in work out there because
the T and TJ stands for torque.
TJ and I both putting in work on the course Saturday.
How'd you do?
I played pretty well. I shot a 84 at the wind course.
Whoa.
And then I went 83 the day before at the Paiute Resort.
Is the wind course the one that they played in
the match?
At the match
recently,
Brady?
Yeah.
Brady and Rogers?
Yep.
Huh. You played that course? You
good
shot
times.
An 83?
84 at 84? The wind course. Yeah.
Like the where were the tees?
We were playing
a little mix. The
we were playing a little mix. It was about 6,100.
Okay, that's
not not insignificant.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Good time.
All right.
The wind course is fun because 18 is the rare par 3, but they do it so if you get a hole in one, you win 10 grand.
I'm glad you guys played golf this weekend.
No one came close.
I mean, I wouldn't say I initially played golf. I mean, I wouldn't disrespect golfers. I was on the course.
You were swinging clubs.
I was swinging the club.
Hey, you were out there. You're a golfer now.
Good for you.
You know what's the funniest thing is? The worst part of my game that day was my
Don't say it.
My putting.
Oh, come on.
I don't know why. It was the worst part of my game that day was putting.
Where are you right now?
And I'm sitting on
ironing.
Right?
Is rich.
Because I was like, oh, I got this. I'm like, you can help me with everything else. I'm like, putting. I don't want to put a percentage, but it was under 50% from a short putt. I'm not a golfer. I don't know. But it was fun. It was fun to get out there, hang out with the fellas, because we haven't done that, something like that, in a minute.
Bob Ryan will be joining us shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's go to Terzo in Iowa. Terzo, what's going on? What's up, Terzo?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy to hear TJ's gone out on the golf course, man. Way to join the brotherhood.
What's going on?
Hey, Rich, I want to give a shout-out to Bill Russell, man. We lost a great human being. I wasn't alive whenever he played, but it's been great that I've had the opportunity to be able to go back and see a lot of his speaking engagements that are out there. He was just eloquent and well-spoken, man. We're going to truly miss a great when it comes to Deshaun Watson, I think he got away with it. And this is coming from a defense attorney, I don't think the 6 games is enough. The unfortunate part is he's on my fantasy football team. I don't know if I want to keep him because I'm really having if I want to root for him or not. And if I keep him, I feel like I'm just kind of feeding into it.
Terzo, I get it. I understand, and we're just going to all at some point turn a page. I mean, we're already talking about some other football related items today on that front, but I appreciate the call. Thank you for the call, Terzo. Bob Ryan will be calling us shortly on the program here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Got a little baseball breaking news,
Rich.
What
do you got? What do you got? Buster Olney calling us in about 35 minutes.
All right. So according to Ken Rosenthal and everybody else, Jeff Passan, Brewers trading for
Joey Gallo?
No, sorry. The Brewers are trading Josh Hader.
Oh.
To the Padres.
Wow. Why would they do that?
Josh Hader going to the Padres.
Hader was on the market? He's a free agent after 2023. That's huge for San Diego.
That's huge. That's huge.
Man. The mindset of a Yankee fan, I wanted them all. Hader was available?
Big return. So it's Taylor Rogers, prospect Robert Gasser, outfielder Esturé Ruiz, right-hander Denlinson Lament. Hader's going to be a free agent, like you said, after next year.
Can you put up the NL West standings for me, if you don't mind? I think that one's in the books, right? The Dodgers are finally running away with that. Am I not mistaken on that front?
Yeah, they're running away with the division, yeah.
Yeah, they're ahead 9.5 games.
Yeah.
The question is, you know, what's going on in the wild card? And you take a look at the NL wild card, and San Diego's sitting right there.
Yeah.
Bro.
Why would
Milwaukee do that? I mean, Milwaukee's 12 games over 500. Like, what are they doing?
Probably don't think he's going to re-sign, so why not get a haul of prospects?
Now? And then maybe face him in the playoffs? By the way, the Braves would be first. That's going to be one of those two, is that, you know, you win the NL East, you get a week off. You lose the NL East, you take on the Padres in the wild card. How about that?
Yikes.
You don't want any piece of that. What would you rather? Sit back and watch the wild card teams hit each other? Because that's part of these playoffs that are going to be that we haven't seen before. The baseball playoffs is the top two records in the leagues get the week off.
Right.
While the third best record, so the division winner that doesn't have the top two, has got to take on the third wild card team and put it all on the line. You know, you got to consider that. You'd be able to, you could sit back and set up your pitching, rest your bullpen while everybody else does everything they possibly have to do to get to the next round. Why would you want to do that if you're the Brewers? That's weird.
And Passan just pointed out the Padres really didn't give up any of the main prospects that have been discussed in other deals, so it's possible they could still pull off getting Juan Soto today or tomorrow.
Who's this? The Padres still?
Yeah, Padres still have enough ammunition to go get Soto, so they could get Soto and Hader, which is insane.
And again, that's why you want to win the NL East. You don't want any piece of that in a short series if you can sit at home otherwise.
Right.
Whew. Man, oh, man. We'll go to Jack in Ohio here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Jack?
Hey, how's it going, Rich?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I wanted to ask about a potential trade. I don't know if anyone's really talked about it or if it's really a dumb idea or not, but I was wondering if there'd be any interest by a trade from the 49ers to trade Jimmy G to the Eagles for Jalen Hurts, plus or minus some picks, but if there'd be any interest in that. I was thinking that because I thought Jalen Hurts would make the backup role for Trey Lance a lot easier because they both have a similar style of play, and Jimmy G is a more accurate of a thrower for that Eagles offense. What are your thoughts?
I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, you know, here's the deal. Jalen Hurts is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles quarterback this year. They're all in on him. And I think he's going to have a significant year. I think he's going to look terrific, and I think he's going to be much better than what you saw last year. I think he's a smart, smart quarterback, a smart kid who is 1,000% somebody who can, and thanks for the call, who can assimilate his experiences from last year and come back even better.
Yeah, Rich, I trust Pro Football Focus for my fantasy information just because they really dial in all the analytics and stuff. They have Jalen Hurts as QB6 going into the season. Six.
Well, that's fantasy, you know.
And I understand, but a lot those numbers do usually translate.
Except last year where the number of times Jalen Hurts had a dreadful first half and a third quarter and then
that's true. I see.
And then gave you the fantasy points you need with some sort of insane barrage that garbage either time. Put the Philadelphia Eagles in front or, you know, him trying to get the reps in a blowout. But they still made the playoffs.
They did.
They still made the playoffs.
And we think they could win the division.
And they added A.J. Brown. And the running game, one would think, is still good enough. It's going to be just as good. And now they've added Georgia Bulldogs on defense. I don't know, man. The Jalen Hurts aspect of this, I think, will, by the end of the year, put the Eagles in a better spot, I think. Joining us here on the day after the passing of Bill Russell is one of the all-time greats, a Hall of Fame sports writer whose perspective on this was the first person I thought of. Literally, when I heard of the passing of Bill Russell on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, is the Boston Globe great Bob Ryan. How you doing, Bob?
You know, I'm feeling bad. It's a sad day, but, you know. But these things happen, as we know.
Absolutely. So I will give the floor to you on Bill Russell's legacy, Bob Ryan.
There are two facets to Bill Russell that need to be discussed, and we can take them in whatever order you like. Just the basketball player and just the man. He's known for basketball for very, very good reason. He's the greatest documented winner in North American sports history, having competed from 1959 to 1955 to 69 for 16 championships, two NCAAs, a gold medal in Melbourne, and 13 NBA championships. His teams just happened to win 14 of those. And then the 15th one, he was injured. And then anybody reasonable knows they would have beaten the Hawks in 58, which would have made it one more. Now, and he also... we'll talk about the technique, but he put the block shot into basketball, made it an art form. And as he once said, I love this quote, I introduced verticality to basketball. I made basketball vertical. Bill Russell was an athlete ahead of his time. He could kick the rim. I said kick, K-I-C-K, not touch, T-O-U-C-H. His lateral mobility was extraordinary. He was an athlete so far ahead of his time, it's hard to comprehend. All right, that's the basketball. The other side is that he was one of the great Americans of the 20th and 21st century, a proud black man who did not let racism defeat him. He tolerated it. He gave it the back of his hand. He had a great quote, Rich, that I think people should really fasten on, and that is, he loved saying this, my citizenship is not a gift. It's a birthright. And by that, he meant that he did not need the approval of white America to do anything, and whether it's sleep, eat, play basketball, vote, anything. That was something that should have been automatically given to him as a citizen of America. And he acted in that manner, and it was not anything that he should not be grateful for. It was something that was owed him by birthright. And he lived his life with that motto. He lived an extraordinarily eventful life, and should be remembered really as far more than just a great basketball player.
Do you have a good story about him as the man that you witnessed yourself personally?
Well, just the charm. Yeah, he's an interesting man because he was in control of every relationship. Okay, and he had a very interesting definition or concept of friendship as opposed to being someone's acquaintance or being in the outer circle. He put a great premium on it, and he had kind of his own rules. He has his own rules for everything, and he controlled the relationship. I spent one memorable evening that I will never forget. In 1999, the city of Boston got around to doing what should have been done years before, and officially honored Bill Russell for being Bill Russell. There was a sold out ceremony at the Boston Garden. The MC, by the way, was Bill Cosby, and celebrities of all walks of life were there in that sold out building. And I was given the privilege by the Boston Globe of writing the preview story, the setup story for the event. And in so doing, I interviewed Bill over dinner in Providence, Rhode Island, for over 3.5 hours, in which he put on his A game for me. His charm was tremendous. He told stories. He has his most famous laugh. You probably have heard about the cackle of his laugh. It's one of the most memorable things about him personally. And it was an extraordinary evening, and I'm very proud of the story. It's been reprinted with a little editing in today's Boston Globe Online. I recommend it for anybody's reading. And it was a great night, and I'll never forget it. So I'll just say that. I had a little acquaintanceship with him, mostly took place in the 80s when he was a broadcaster. I covered him as the coach of the Sonics in Sacramento. I did not cover him as a player. I came in the year after he retired, but I got to know him a little bit in the ensuing years. And but that night was the highlight. I'll never forget it.
So Bob Ryan here, Boston Globe columnist, emeritus, Hall of Famer, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. His relationship to the city of Boston and it with him. Walk me through how that developed and the ups and downs of that.
It didn't develop the way it obviously should have. Bill Russell entered Boston in 1956 at a time when Boston was, the word tribal has been used. I like it. Tribal neighborhoods, even just rivalries, and it was not a welcoming place for people of color, period. And he walked into the middle of this, had never experienced anything like this, given the fact that his family had uprooted with the Great Migration from his birthplace in Monroe, Louisiana, to Oakland when he was 8. So he experienced racism, of course, as any black person would in those days or even now, but not to the extent that he found it in Boston. And so he separated his professional life with the Celtics, which he loved, and where he was embraced and where he made friends with both races, and there was never an issue with the Celtics. And, of course, he very much appreciated Red Auerbach. But the city of Boston didn't love him back after the game ended the way they should have. You probably know the famous story of someone breaking into his house in Reading, Mass, and spreading feces on his wall. That would not please you or me or anybody else. He had an arm's-length relationship with the city from most of the time that he played in the city. And he made it clear, you know, how he was going to live his life. As time went on, culminating in 1899, the city made some amends to him, but he never found it as a comfortable place. He didn't come here too often, for any reason other than the Celtics. And beyond it that night, and he only did that because it was for a charity that he had great love for, called a mentoring charity. He in Boston, you know, it was not good, and it was just a very embarrassing thing for the city of Boston, and not just for Bill Russell, but for any black person of those days.
So the championship years for him, Bob Ryan, Bill Russell, the fact that Red Auerbach hands the reins of the team over to him, it's just certainly in this day and age just mind-boggling. But it was clearly the best move Red Auerbach could do, right? I mean, when you hand it off to your star player and championship player, it makes sense now through the fog of history. But can you walk me through what you know about handoff or what happened there?
Sure. He did think about other people at first, a couple of other people, but then he settled on Russell and Mueller. And believing the joke that Red told was that Russell's the only one that could coach Russell. And I suspect that was about 78% of the reason. But the other 22% was that Red knew Russell was intellectually and totally capable of the job, of handling the job, and that he would embrace it and do it the way he was going to do it. He had like a committee of elders that helped him run that team. By the time he had Satch, Sanders, he added Wayne Embry, who was very important. Larry Siegfried was kind of like the offensive, like de facto offensive coordinator for that team in the late 60s. And Russell made all the final decisions, of course. And who was going to, you know, all the standard coaching decisions were made by Bill Russell. He's very proud of he was very proud of his coaching. Didn't think he was getting enough credit for it. He was really happy to go into the Hall of Fame as a coach as well as a player. But it was a logical thing to do for Auerbach to give it to Russell. It just speaks, and you know, he was the first, the second black man. The first one, of course, was John McLeod, who had coached in the American Basketball League, hired by, of all people, George Steinbrenner back in 1961 in the short-lived American Basketball League, Abe Saperstein's league. But the end for the, you know, the really stable professional sports, he was the first black coach in America.
So Bob Ryan here, a couple more minutes left with the best-selling author and Hall of Fame sports writer here on the Rich Eisen Show. So when kids walk into TD Garden or whatever it's going to be called forevermore, who knows, and they see Russell's name and jersey and things of that nature, what's the story that you think should be told? about Bill Russell?
Oh, my God. Well, once again, the basketball story is that he brought a dimension to the game of with the shot blocking that changed the concept of what a center could do and should do, and did it better than anyone's ever done it by keeping the ball in play and not knocking into the 10th row, which most people do, and then watch the other team get the ball back and score. And that happens, as you well know, very often. Russell tried to keep the ball in play with his incredible dexterity. He was able to do so and start fast breaks. The basketball part, the winning part, the fact that in 21 times in his career, starting with the NCAA tournament in 55, that his team was playing a winner-take-all game. Someone's going home tonight. Bill Russell's teams were 21-0. That includes two NCAAs, the gold medal round of the Olympics, and all the best of fives and best of sevens in the NBA. And that from 1955 to 69, as I mentioned, he's competed for 16 championships and won 14. That part should be known for sure. But the part that he was a civil rights icon in the 60s, that he stood up and did the things. You see him in the right places, in Selma, Alabama, Montgomery, wherever. He was there, and he was a man's man and lived life on his terms. You can't say enough about Bill Russell. He was truly one of the great Americans.
So, and obviously no Celtic has worn six and will ever again since Russell's retirement.
I really believe that the NBA should duplicate baseball with Jackie Robinson.
That was my next question.
And there should be a six taken down. Nobody should wear six in the NBA, period.
That was my next question. Do you think the NBA should do that?
And yes, that would be a perfectly fitting tribute right now. Yes, I think that's, to me, it's a given. It's a no-brainer. But let's see what happens.
Bob Bryan, thank you for the time. Before I let you go, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about the present day. Do you think the Celtics should, if this is true or not, cough up Jaylen Brown in a package for Moore and keep adding to it so Durant can come to the Celtics?
No, I do not. I want to keep the team as is. I want Tatum to have a chance to address the failings that he had and he will, because he's smart and he's sensitive to the criticism he's received for his less than stellar play in the finals. I want to keep this team together. They have added pieces with Malcolm Brogdon and Gallinari that address major needs that they had, and they have the depth. Why would they want to tear up their depth? There's no guarantee that Durant would produce a championship. He's 34. He gets injured. And he's kind of, you don't know where he's coming from anymore either. You don't. You just don't. This is not a necessary move. They've got all the pieces you need to go back and try it again. And I want to win with this team. Now, I'm speaking more as a fan than a so-called, pundit, but I believe it firmly. So, no, I think it'd be a mistake to make this deal.
Bob, thanks for taking the time on a busy day to help this show pay the proper respects to Bill Russell and lending your perspective. Always appreciate it, Bob. Thank you.
I'm always open to you, Rich. You know that.
Really appreciate that. That's the great Bob Ryan from the Boston Globe, ESPN, and so much more right here on The Rich Eisen Show. All right, let us take a break here on the program. Retiring number six league-wide. I mean,
no-brainer.
That'd be it, right?
Yep.
And put the Bill Russell banner in every arena in the NBA.
I think that's super cool. There's 10, 11 guys right now currently wearing number six, including LeBron James. So let them ride it out the rest of their career and then retire for good.
And that'll be it.
Yep.
Why not? I think it's a great move.
It's too easy.
It's a spectacular tribute. And let's hope that they feel the same way. And I bet you they will. Look at that picture of all those rings on that smiling face.
It's the ultimate photo.
That is the greatest.
You said earlier about a handful of people like in his realm when it comes to championships. There's nobody. There's nobody. This dude is on a tier solo by himself.
How many did Yogi have?
Yogi
had a lot, right?
Yogi too.
It was Yogi 21-0 in closeout games. Yogi lost a little bit.
Yogi was known for his malaprops and his phrases, not for trying to change the world.
That's kind of like my point. The fact that Bill Russell was fighting for stuff in the 50s and 60s and 70s.
No doubt.
That it could, if you just close your eyes and listen, he could have been talking yesterday.
And the 80s and 90s and aughts and the teens too.
So it's like literally up changed to his passing. It's ridiculous, but I mean, you can't even say enough great things about the man. Just like I said, he's on a tier, he's on a level completely by himself,
which is why number six should be in the rafters by itself in every NBA barn.
And as someone whose favorite basketball player of all time also wore six, I'm completely okay.
You're in.
Yeah, I'm definitely down.
Let's take a break. When we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show, something happened in practice.
Practice?
Something happened in training camp.
What are we talking about?
That we do have to discuss. A throw from a quarterback.
Uh-oh. Not a game?
Not a game. We're talking practice. When Callaway engineered Chrome Soft to be the best tour ball, it didn't just make the best players better, folks. It made everybody better. That includes me. And that's saying a lot. Men, women, first-time major winners, repeat major winners, club champs, business golfers, the Chrome Soft family has the best tour performance for every type of performance. You start with the regular Chrome Soft designed for the widest range of golfers who want better feel, more distance, incredible forgiveness. The better players looking for more workability, the Chrome Soft X, that's the rock for you. Finally, Chrome Soft XLS gives you a lower spin golf ball on longer shots, firmer feel, but still with high spin around the greens. Now every Chrome Soft is enhanced with precision technology, which uses design techniques and manufacturing specifications up to 1/1000th of an inch. That's the science. Folks, when you add it all up, it's pretty simple. Chrome Soft is better for the best and better for everyone. Find out which Chrome Soft is right for you at CallawayGolf.com/ChromeSoft. Christopher, we like having fun about tweeting out videos and from practice.
Yes.
During an NFL training
camp. I love it. I can't get enough.
You know what I mean? It's just sometimes guys in shells, not full-on pads. You see now those helmets that they're wearing, the padding on top of the helmets.
I like those. Kazoo helmet.
Well, I mean, it's like Darth helmet, you know. It's like a little Darth helmet, but it's for making sure that you don't suffer a head injury.
It's like Mark Kelso.
So
we're talking about practice.
Thank you. And that's Allen Iverson talking about practice.
Right.
We make bigger deals out of stuff. Okay. And then there's videos that are thrown out there by the teams that sometimes make the players look better than they really are. Mm-hmm. And then there's videos that intended to do that, but completely backfire, like the one the Dolphins put up during OTAs when a wobbly pass in the air was thrown by Tua to Tyreek Hill, who had to slow up to catch that pass, and the Dolphins were like, you know, fire emoji and whatever the eye emojis, whatever emojis there were.
Yeah. It was stupid.
Well, this one was taken from high atop the practice by a member of the media. Tua going up to Tyreek Hill. And here we go. Tua fading back from his own 30.
Oh, look at that.
55 yards in the air, a total. Dime dropped, full on spiral, perfectly accurate. Looks like the most accurate thrower in the league, right to Tyreek Hill. And they're going crazy in Miami practice.
Man.
And I saw that and I'm like, okay.
But can he do it in Buffalo?
Okay.
I don't know about y'all.
Salty Tua.
That looks like money to me.
Salty Tua putting it on the field and on film. Hey, folks, Tyreek Hill is going to beat some coverage this year. He's going to beat some coverage.
Yes,
he's going to be behind the defense, raising his hand, saying, hit me. And, you know, I know you say do it in Buffalo in January or whatever.
Yeah, you got to do it in Buffalo.
That's what everybody's going to do. Well, let's see. Hold on a minute.
They play them, I bet, Miami, deep in December.
Let's see.
Am I right?
Week 15.
Yeah, there you go. That's what 15. I'm talking about.
Oh, week 17 at New England. That's cool.
Oh, even better. Oh. Woo. Mac will be all warmed up.
You know what, though? Everybody back off. I'm going to put my tinfoil Tuanon hat on right now.
You're in deep. You're on like, well, hey, what, two is one chance.
Folks, this is the truth. This is unvarnished truth. Delivered from this seat to you. With all those burners running these routes that are going to create matchup problems from the line of scrimmage to, 10 yards from the line? Like, there's going to be a lot going. There's going to be a lot of games. There's going to be a lot of games behind the line, and there's going to be a lot of gameplay where receivers are slashing all across and trying to get that matchup nightmare where suddenly a safety's on a speed burner or a linebacker's got to cover somebody because that – speed burner comes out of the backfield and, oh, my God, run across the field and all that business. So there's going to be a lot of games that Mike McDaniel and that offense is cooking up for the defense, put pressure on him, that 10-yard box from the line of scrimmage on, right? Tyreek Hill is going to be going outside the numbers doing this a lot. And he's going to have some single coverage sometimes. Maybe a safety is going to be shading over, but it doesn't matter if Tua is going to drop it in like that. If Tua shows up like that, this is a big problem for the rest of this conference, this division, this league.
I mean, I thought overreaction Monday was in like 10 minutes.
Not yet. That's a bit, not what I just said. I just gave you an if. It's a big if. It's a big if. But it's in there. It's in there. And I just hope this commentary breaks to his tight circle, because that means he hears me. And I'm important to him. Because as you know, all the other negativity's out of his circle. At Salty Tua, dropping dimes to the cheetah. Yes, sir.
I mean,
he's
wearing the red jersey and no one was around.
I know that. Hey, but I think you get my point.
Sure. Also,
said with some potential entertaining effect.
Rich,
but
he doesn't need to throw 55 yards every game.
That's what I'm saying.
Cheetah's so good at taking a 10-yard pass and taking it 60 to the crib himself.
So is Jalen Waddle.
Yeah,
so
he doesn't need to throw 60 yards in the air.
Your guy Cedric Wilson from last year.
Yeah, he's going to be a player for them.
Dude, that's wide receiver. That's WR3 in their offense. And then they're going to hit you with Raheem Mostert. They're going to hit you, and then they're going to hit you big. Tua, if he is the most accurate quarterback in the league.
I'm going to put this out on a poll, and I'm going to ask you guys both right now. I'm going to ask you this as I put it up on a poll. Would you draft Tua in fantasy to be your starting quarterback?
No. What's next?
I mean, I do auctions.
Come on, man, to be your starting quarterback.
It depends on how much money I had left. Yeah. I might spend all my money on running backs, and I get Tua for a buck. Sure.
And you know what? But that's the subtext of that, is that Tua's not a viable starting quarterback in the league. And all I say to that is he's the Dolphins quarterback.
haven't been a viable team in the league for a while.
Well.
Eight of the last nine.
Hold on a sec. Let's
keep that in
last
mind.
Last playoff win was. Anybody?
He insulted him a little bit.
Crickets.
They did finish up strong last year.
They sure did.
And Mike McDaniel, as you know, has a unique perspective on things. One of our favorites. Let me see that pass one more time. Give me one more time. Let me see it one more time.
Give me what
there
I want.
There he is. There's Tua. Tua fades back to pass in the Baptist Health Training Complex, and he baptizes the defense. Right over the
dude. I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
That's right.
All right, the last head coach, like the Dolphins, won a playoff game.
Hold on a minute. From his 30, and the ball lands on the 7.
7?
I don't know about you, but that looked like money.
It was money. Tight spiral.
A dollar to anyone who can name the last coach of a Dolphins playoff win.
Dave Wanstead?
Ooh, Rich, good job.
Thank
Ooh,
you. I will Rich. Take that dollar.
I know he's got
$1
because I gave him one.
And I'm going to take that.
TJ,
I'm going to take that $1, Mr. Duke.
That's there.
And I'm going to go on StubHub and buy a ticket to the next LIV golf tournament.
That's really my dollar.
That's how much it costs to see it this weekend.
And there's open bar.
For the real story behind some of wrestling's biggest moments, it's Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard and Conrad Thompson, too.
All-time Hogan opponents, Macho Man's got to be in the conversation. Where's Andre for you?
I've always said Andre was number one.
Wow.
Because even going back before, you know, Hulk Hogan was a babyface, Hulk and Andre were able to go in and headline at the New Orleans Superdome, at Shea Stadium in Japan. Wherever they went, that was an attraction.
Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.